Today, we're actually going to brew a batch of beer.
Hi guys, and welcome to the Irish Beer Snob podcast. Across the table from me today, we have Wayne.
Yep.
Hi, Wayne.
Hello.
And this week we're actually in Wicklow Brewery with Jason. Hi, Jason.
What's up?
How are you keeping?
Good. I'm good.
So this is something a little bit different. It's something that we don't usually do. We're just going to have a beer and a few bants.
The rule book has been thrown out.
Yeah. It is.
Beery banter, beery chats, whatever. So we're on location in Red Cross in rural County Wicklow, which actually isn't too far from everything, in fairness. Like, we're surprised. We made it down from Navan in just over an hour this morning, so okay. It wasn't too bad. I suppose it's like it's only kind of, the road is a bit dodgy when you come off the old N11, I think it is. It gets a bit bendy, but...
Yeah, to be fair, Wicklow Town is only, 10, 15 minutes drive from here, so it's not too bad. Bray is 40 minutes, Dublin... talking an hour.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad.
You're not too far out in the boonies anyway.
So for our listeners that don't know who you are, shame on you, tell us a bit about yourself.
I was going to say something smart there.
Go for it.
That's not in the public domain.
So I actually started out in the music industry. Ran my own business in Dublin for a few years. A qualified sound engineer.
Cool.
So I was taking bands and musicians around the country and recording them, and was doing really well. I was actually top of the list in Google search for recording studios in Ireland at the time.
So wow.
I was doing quite well.
Good thing your dad's not here for this. He'd have been bending your ear for different reasons.
Then the recession kind of hit in, and I was left kind of flat in my arse, basically. I had no interest in beer at this point. I mean, nothing.
Wow.
Would rarely go out and drink.
Wow.
Yeah. No interest whatsoever.
How times have changed.
Yes.
Yeah.
No recovering alcoholic, look at me.
High functioning
yeah,
alcoholic.
Yeah, high functioning
alcoholic.
We
like to adopt, yeah. So, music industry to beer.
Yeah.
How did that transition come about?
Very strangely, actually. So, I was unemployed. I was always into kind of cooking and all that kind of jazz. So, I saw a chef on TV make a nettle beer, Hugh Ferning wedding stall.
From River Cottage.
Yes, that guy. So I went out, picked nettles in Phoenix Park, made sure to pick the ones at the top so there's no dog pee on them.
A useful tip there, people.
No grain, no hops, just a muslin bag, lash load of nettles, boil it, throw in some sugar, lemon, lime. I did not know what I was doing at all. Threw in brewer's yeast, which is obviously an extract of brewer's yeast, so it didn't do anything. There was no fermentation going on. So I think I went down to Bure at the time and asked a couple of questions. So I got a bread yeast from Tesco, chucked that in, and it did its thing, basically.
Brilliant.
So I put it into bottles that I got in IKEA, and
Brilliant. It
blew the top off the bottles.
The old bottle bomb.
Yeah. I still drank it, though.
Any good?
Oh, God, no. I was trying to convince the girlfriend at the time that it was beautiful. I was like, why don't you like it? It's beautiful.
I think every kind of home brewer has that kind of, it's this. And then when someone tells you about a flaw, something that's not quite right with it, you're like, you're wrong. You're just wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, we all get kind of defensive over it. So
absolutely.
I know, we kind of brewed a beer recently and we were really happy with it. And then it was only
when we
got the feedback on it in the competition, I was like, yeah, I kind of suspected as much myself, but you're kind of just willing to carry on blindly and go, this beer
is
amazing.
Yeah.
So from brewing a nettle beer, I was about to say nettle tea.
Yeah.
Or it sounds more like a nettle tea than anything.
So
you got the bug at that point, I'm assuming.
Kind of, yeah. I was idle. So I was like, right, well, just go to YouTube and see how people are doing it. And that's how the beer kits came about. So I started using those, but I never kind of settled for just the kit. I always add like mint or chocolate or lavender or honey or whatever it might be. That kind of transcribes into what I'm doing nowadays as well. I like adding stuff to beer. I think it's more interesting.
Yeah.
So I was doing that the whole time and wasn't really getting the results I was looking for. I always find you get kind of acetaldehyde from the can kits.
Yeah.
Just kind of happily wear a thing that goes on.
I call it the tang.
That's the kit tang.
It's like, it's just there. You just know it's there.
Yeah. It's
and no matter how you do it, it's always there.
Exactly. It's quite prominent. Like, so I built my all grain kit as people do. Started brewing lots and lots of beers that weren't so balanced. They were just, you know, over the top. But the first year of the National Homebrew Club, I got gold for my California Common.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
That's amazing.
So at that point, I was actually working in Dogs Trust in Dublin. I was there for a year.
Out of English.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So dogs, beer, music. That's pretty
much living the dream.
Yeah. That's deadly.
So I started doing a couple of tastings in Dublin. And, it's close to Gingerman.
Probus,
yeah.
Sorry. So you'd know Kevin Ryan then, who's working with Drew at the moment.
Kevin worked with me in Dog Trust. That's why I know Kevin. So both of us are doing tastings and brewing at the same time.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I know Kevin very, very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Kevin does the...
Sound guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's working with Brew at the moment, but I think we went on a pub tour with him in Dublin one evening, and I think we ended up in the beer house drinking a beer that we'll get you to talk about in a minute. So you went from Dog Trust...
So basically, I was living in Dublin, it was just myself and the dog, so I was like, maybe it's time to move back to Cork. So I did. So I moved back to Cork, didn't really have a job, so I approached a local off license, about being maybe the head of craft or whatever you might say. Like.
Yeah.
So I started posting tasting nights on like a Wednesday and Thursday night, so I was doing that for a while. Then I got a job in the beer house in Cork.
Oh yeah, great bar.
I was there for 6 months with Dave and
yeah, good lads down there, yeah.
Absolutely. But in the meantime, I was kind of brewing the whole time as well at home. And what I was doing was handing out bottles to actually Benny McCabe at the time and Shane from the Framwell and other breweries around the country and bar managers and basically whoever would take the beer. But lucky enough, Shane Long called me up for an interview. So I went in and I got just basically a general operator's role. So just cleaning kegs and all that kind of stuff, but that's how you have to start, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
So within 6 months, I was kind of staying late with Peter the head brewer, which is completely the unsung hero of Irish craft beer, by the way, in this country.
Yeah.
The man's been there for like 17 years. He's an animal. But I would stay late with him when he was brewing and learning as much as I could. And after 6 months, Shane decided to get Saison yeast in that they had never used before. So he gave me first go at it basically. So now was my chance after 6 months to create my own beer for the Framwell.
So this Brilliant. Is the Clementine
and Rosemary.
Rosemary Saison that we had that night with Kevin. And it was one of those things that at the time drinking it, I was going, this is a real acquired taste because the flavours in there can be quite pronounced. But I just thought it was really well balanced and nice and subtle. And then it was at that point that Kevin said he was helping you peeling
Satsumas
yeah.
or Clementine. So, like, obviously...
I think it was the first Saison I ever actually tried.
Yeah, and I think it's still a style you kind of struggle a little bit with. So, from learning the ropes in Franciscan Well, and I'd agree with you, I think a lot of people have conveniently forgotten the role that Franciscan Well have played in the resurgence in the craft beer sector. It seems to me, personally, that you get some people are willing to... You know, accept the kind of, maybe freebies is the wrong word, but they're willing to accept that in one hand, and on the other hand, they'll say something derogatory or negative. Like, obviously, for me, it's all about the quality of the beer and the product as well. And I think from Framwell themselves have said they've had a few consistency issues while moving to the new brew house and everything. And that's natural. That happens every brewery around the place. But I do think that the kind of not revisionist of history, there is that kind of certain element of that maybe Shane and the team in Framwell and not necessarily giving the kudos that say the late Oliver Hughes were,
absolutely,
and Jameson O'Hara's and others, like, because he was definitely there and pushing it,
yeah,
for as long as a lot of those guys,
and,
if not longer.
And
you know?
Actually, not just Shane, because I think, to be fair, Shane actually gets a lot of kudos as is, because
yeah,
he's almost like the godfather of craft,
yeah,
beer in this country. But Peter Lyon in the Framwell is just an unsung hero, for
yeah,
sure. He's trained me in, he's trained lots of brewers in, even Shane Murphy in the Raising Suns, trained him in as well.
Yeah, so I remember actually having a conversation with Shane Long, God, when it was when the European Beer Bloggers Conference was in Dublin in 2014, and
mm,
Molson Coors obviously sponsored the event, but Shane was there on behalf of himself and Franciscan Well, and he just said things like, you know, all the right things in terms of, like, look, everyone has this real romantic vision of brewing.
Yes.
And he says, look, if you ever want to, you are thinking about it, you come down here and give me a few days of your time and I'll show you everything.
Yeah.
Everything you need to know to make your mind up. And he said that people do take him up on that offer, and that's something that he doesn't have to do,
nope,
himself. He could just go, you know what, F you guys, I'm out here, you know.
Well, he actually did the same with the owners here, and the owners kind of took his advice on, and the guys went down, Lee and Ashley went down to him and spent, you know, a few hours with him and got as much information as possible. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, like, obviously, it's, I think it's important to recognise people, and, you know, Peter, the head brewer in Framwell.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he's obviously, you've kind of done your time with him in an apprenticeship kind of way.
100%. Yeah.
With him. And there's undoubtedly dozens of brewers who have followed similar paths to yourselves, have worked very closely with him. And it's obviously very important that there's that kind of transferal of skills to the new younger kind of new,
yeah,
generation.
Yeah, but I think it's important as well to be trained correctly. I think there's, you know, it's very easy to be trained incorrectly.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been very difficult for me to just going from being a, you know, like a home brewer and all of a sudden having my own brewery, or,
yeah,
you know, being a head brewer. It's just not realistic.
It's a totally different step up.
And actually, the one main thing that I learned, I look back on recipes that I was doing as a home brewer,
yeah,
like, what the hell was I doing? But that's the one thing that the Well kind of gave me was how to balance a beer, I suppose, and that's kind of what I look for the whole time.
And have you ever tried to recreate those homebrew recipes professionally?
I have, but I've torn them back. Like,
really?
I think there was one beer I was adding like four different types of caramel malt, and I was like, what the hell is the point? Like,
yeah, there's kind of that when you're a homebrewer, you kind of just do it because you can.
Yeah.
But then when you're actually a professional brewer, you kind of have to think, well, are people actually going to drink this? Or will they understand the different,
yeah,
subtleties that are there? Like, with exception, there might be that small exception of people go, oh yeah, he's used four different caramel malts there, which is like 0.001% of the consumers.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Actually, that's what I found. I got a McKellar's recipe book there not so long ago.
Oh yeah.
And I looked through his recipes, and some of them are just like unnecessary, you could say, because he does that kind of stuff. So it's like, can you pick up? Like, all those different caramel malts are going to give you a certain kind of nuances, obviously.
Yeah.
But when I just go Crystal 160 and
leave it at,
yeah,
that, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I suppose it comes back to that acronym, doesn't it? Of KISS, keep it simple, stupid. You know,
yeah,
like at the end of the day, if the less moving parts, the less things there is to go wrong with a recipe.
That's it, like. So that's what I found with the Well. And yeah, so that's Clementine Rosemary got bronze at the International Beer Challenge. So that was my first commercial beer and I got international award, which is
very good. So
set me on my way.
Put you on the radar, shall we say.
Yeah. It definitely gave me confidence in what I was doing. And from there I did a pistachio and vanilla brown for the Well that didn't actually leave the Framwell.
Yeah, I think I'd heard rumours of it. It's,
yeah,
like Moby Dick.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm not going to get down to Cork to try that.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it. But like, obviously, from Franciscan Well,
yeah,
you moved into Guinness,
mm-hmm,
for a while.
Yeah.
So you were there in the Open Gate Brewery. And like, we've been down to several events,
yeah,
down
we
there.
Have.
We actually met,
mm-hmm,
you at the launch,
yeah,
at the time. So what attracted you to come to Wicklow Brewery? Because, like, I suppose from some brewer's point of view, you might go, well, you've gone from Framwell, a great place to learn,
mm-hmm,
to somewhere like Guinness,
mm,
where money's no object and you can kind of have every piece of Gucci kit you want, including a micro roaster. Or
you'd like to think that, but yeah.
Centrifuge.
Yeah.
Like, that's maybe the perception that,
mm-hmm,
maybe some people would have had when,
yeah,
people would have seen that you got,
yeah,
the role. But I suppose from there, from Guinness to Wicklow Brewery, because obviously this is a very different, like, we're sitting in the beer hall, and I must say it's one of the most impressive tap rooms I've ever been in.
It's amazing.
All the reclaimed wood, it gives it a real rustic, authentic, kind of bit of German beer hall-ish.
It does, yeah, absolutely.
And it's really good, whereas...
Like, I'd love to be here for a party.
If I was directly comparing this to, say, the Open Gate, it's got that nouveau industrial kind of appearance with lights that look like they've come from IKEA. Now, that's not to say the guys who work in the bar and everything aren't sound, because they are.
We
know Parig really well down there. But I suppose, what attracted you to Wicklow Brewery?
Well, actually, when I decided that I was leaving Diageo, well, I basically done tools, there was 7 opportunities arose, basically, within the Irish craft beer scene. And there were 7 breweries that were interested in taking me on. I came down here kind of not really expecting much, to be honest. It just, to me, it seems like a young Franwell. That's kind of what attracted me to it. The owners, absolutely amazing. Like, and during my interview, they basically said that they want to give the brewery over for someone just to take control.
Just to leave you at it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So there's kind of no predetermined agenda. It's like, the brewery's your thing, you do what you think
just,
is right.
Just please make it work. That's pretty much it. And I think anybody that gets into brewing kind of has their own vision of what the industry is and how to move a brewery forward and how to move themselves forward. And I'm absolutely part of that. So I have my own vision of what beers will drive this brewery forward. And thankfully enough, it's working.
Yeah.
You know, it really, really is. Like, so I was basically, when I left from the interview, I said, this is definitely the spot for me.
Yeah,
because I think at the time there was a number of movements happening. I know our friend Dave Guilfoyle moved from Trouble to... from Bo Bristol to Trouble, and Mark Nixon moved from Trouble to Hope.
Yeah,
and there seems to be...
Oh, there was a lot of speculation of who'd end up where and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember that Brew...
Galway left as well, was his name?
Chris, he's over in
and then
Switzerland.
Brew were looking for somebody at the time as
well. Yeah, Brew were looking for a head guy. And it's, I suppose that's a real sign of a maturing craft beer market, that you are beginning to see that movement in terms of brewing personnel into... You know, they might be moving from a brewer in one place to take over the reins somewhere else and get a bit more, you know, like there's a bit more freedom, but there's a lot of faith been shown in young brewers, particularly
to
kind of bring it out.
It completely comes down to trust, and that's the case with the owners here as well, that it's, if they don't have trust in you or you don't trust in them, then it's going to collapse.
Yeah, well, it works both ways. You can't just, like... I suppose you see it in every line of business, there will be people who take advantage of that mutual trust. But I suppose for everyone, it's in everyone's interest that this brewery is a success.
Yeah, well, like today, for example, like today is a Sunday, and I've been in here since like 10:30, doing a couple of test batches that I don't have to do. But it'll be on the festival here at the 7th and 8th of October. People get to taste different stuff from us, which is why the brewery is moving forward in the first place. So it benefits me, benefits the brewery. It just makes sense, you know.
Yeah, sadly we won't be around for that. We'll be away in the UK that weekend at Indyman, but we'll mark it for the calendar next year, hopefully.
Absolutely.
As long as Indyman aren't on the same weekend.
As long as Indyman isn't on the same weekend. So we're sat here. I'm drinking the Hop Nut.
Yes.
So this just won the best. Pale ale.
Best ale under 5%. BrewDog's 5 AM Saint won the same award last year.
Nice.
So this is the International Beer Challenge.
Absolutely.
That
there's over 30 countries. We've got Sam Adams, Delirium Tremens, Strapa Hendrick.
That's huge.
She's gone up against breweries with serious pedigree there.
This is no messing, yeah.
Oh my God, congratulations.
This isn't like, here you go, here's a rosette, well done.
No,
this is
engraving the trophy at the moment. They're sending it over.
Here, let me taste that one.
Yeah, Janice is drinking the red ale because she loves her red ale. But I suppose in a short space of time, as you would have taken over this brewery from the previous brewer.
Yeah.
Have you made loads of changes to recipes yourself?
Well, not just recipes, but production. Basically, like when I came in, there was 3 hoses. One sight glass, T-piece and valve, which is grand, but you need more than that.
Mm-hmm.
The brewery just wasn't functional at all. Kegging one keg at a time.
Oh,
so it's taken us a day and a half, 2 days to keg off a batch.
Wow.
Great.
That's not good.
Nightmare. No way to see how much top pressure put in the keg. You know, it was just a nightmare. So I came in the middle list, and the owners thankfully kind of took it on board, and they invested. So there's loads of hoses there now, loads of extra pieces there. The last guy that was here, Matisse, he didn't leave much kind of records. So there was just like a blanket brew sheet for every brew, which isn't, you know, accurate at all. Like, it doesn't happen that way. So I had to like back engineer the recipes and stabilize them, and that's what I've done basically.
Better for us consumers, because I've noticed the difference in the beers when I first tried them. They weren't great.
Yeah,
they weren't.
I would agree.
Do you know?
Yeah, they didn't set the world on fire anyway.
But I can't remember the first time I tried them. I was at a festival anyway, and I was just like, "Whoa, no, not going back."
Yeah, well, like actually, I was at the RDS last year, and I just bypassed the brewery completely.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, yeah, like if I was to start a brewery in the morning, yeah, I might have like an IPA or a pale ale, but I would stay away from the Hellas, the Red. You know, it's just typical, you know, and unexpected. I would be out there a little bit more, which is what I'm trying to do with the brewery at the moment.
Yeah, because I had a ginger nut when I got in next door just after the drive down. Nice and refreshing, nice light body, very good summer beer. And I'm assuming it's only available in summer, or is it all around?
Well, so during my interview, the owners specifically wanted a ginger beer. So I have no interest in doing a ginger beer, but I said, fine, here, you know, you pay my wages, so of course I'll do it. So I brewed the first batch of it during the summer. But what I did is I added the ginger post-fermentation.
Okay, yeah, so it doesn't get scrubbed away.
Yeah, so I pasteurized it basically, boiled the ginger for 10 minutes and then added it into the conditioning tank. But it didn't pasteurize. So it started turning sour after about 2 months, I would say. So that had to be scrapped, which is grand, lesson learned. So we added the ginger in the whirlpool this time, which means it's getting like 45 minutes contact time at 98 degrees, which is going to do the job.
Kill anything that's
there. Yeah. No, it was worried obviously that the aroma was going to dissipate, but it's still there, and it's not too hot or the drink.
No.
So I think the whole idea is that they want to bottle it and just let it be out there and do its own thing.
Yeah.
And if that's what they want to do, then sure.
It's a nice beer. I enjoyed it earlier on.
Yeah, it's nice and refreshing. Like I had it because I kind of like a ginger beer, and you know sometimes you get one that's really like ginger beard.
Yes.
That one by Witchwood is just like you could throw that in someone's face and it'd be like pepper spray. Yeah. Anyway. But it's just nice and crisp and refreshing, and just what I kind of wanted after the drive down.
But even that for lunch there when we were with your parents, they wouldn't be like big into craft beer now at all, but they both enjoyed a pint of the Hells, and your sister did as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had the apricot and peach saison as well. Nice little bit of sweetness to it.
That stout.
That brings us nicely.
Oh my God.
Nice one.
Oh my God.
Onto the stout. Yeah. Very nice. Just the vanilla and is it chocolate or coffee?
Coffee.
Coffee. Yeah. Really, really sing through. And I think it really benefited from you kind of leaving it to come up in temperature a bit, because the flavors all came through a bit more. But the thing is, one of our listeners asked on the Facebook page, he really enjoyed it. He's a huge fan of the show. I don't think it was Thomas who asked this question.
Thomas McCarthy asked, when is it going to be battled? Is it going to be battled?
Well, it doesn't matter. Someone asked the question anyway. So we didn't not get any questions for you. But basically they were asking, when is the stout going to be packaged as in bottle? And are you going to be bottling or canning any of your beers in the future? Because obviously you would obviously supply locally quite a fair draft accounts, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
But do you bottle your beer at the moment?
Not at the moment. The 3rd of October, we're canning the hop nut.
Woo! Yeah. Exciting.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Deadly.
So there was a fresh batch brewed this week, which means by the 3rd, it'll be as fresh as it pretty much can be.
Hmm.
I've been talking to the canning guys about maybe trying to get like liquid nitrogen into the cans and doing the stout that way.
Okay.
So he said that he'll have a definitive answer by Christmas time. So if we can get a proper nature stout into the can, absolutely, 100%, as soon as possible.
There's a brewery in Dublin that does something like that.
No, they try to do something like that.
Well, I suppose the thing for us is, like, we're kind of lucky that we get to see and visit so many different breweries. But it's also great to see someone like yourself. You're quite young, you're under 30.
I'm 33.
Yeah. Well, Doesn't he look younger than he is?
I thought you were younger, yeah.
That's my bad. I'm really bad at judging people's ages. It's all good. But it's great to see...
It's worse when the beer comes off.
Jason the babyface assassin. But yeah, it's great to see someone like yourself get the opportunity to put your stamp on a brewery like that. I think so many breweries can kind of be preoccupied with just getting the beer ready and getting it out there. And I think you can see that in some of the consistency and quality out there. I do think the quality has picked up, but I do think recipe design remains to be a big challenge for some breweries in terms of balance. Like, obviously, there is some great beers out there. There's some not so great beers out there.
Agreed, yeah. But yeah, like the best thing, like obviously the trophy that we got for the Hop Nut is huge. And it's massive. It's a really, really big deal. But I think the best thing that I've done here is stabilize the beers.
You need to give yourself the platform to build from. You can't just... Yeah. You can't put foundations on sand. Has the phone been off the hook since you won the award?
Yeah, it's been insane. It really has. Actually, it's funny. We were over in London and we got the award. So the owners rang here and said, the free drinks at the bar, couldn't deal. But one of the barmen rang Today FM and RT and all that kind of stuff. So it was because of him that
brilliant.
It's kind of been getting out there, which is great. But I think as soon as we can. And our bottle, that will give kind of more exposure across the country, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, definitely.
Like even at the RDS, we had I think it was 12 beers on, and we had a pineapple and raspberry goza, a 6.6% IPA, which we've gotten go ahead to do as well as the goza. We had a chocolate brown on nitro that's gotten the go ahead as well.
Woohoo!
Absolutely.
Woohoo!
So when did Wicklow Brewery start? Because that's quite adventurous for a young brewery, that kind of beer list.
But this is exactly it. Like, I mean, when I started, the owners went on holidays pretty much the first day I started. So when they came back, I was like, I'm doing a coffee and vanilla oatmeal stout.
This happened.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, shit, okay.
What have we done?
Grand. Okay, that's not going to sell. I said, okay, just give it a chance.
Watch me.
So as soon as that came out, converted all the Guinness drinkers in the village, and the beer took over. We had a radio campaign on East Coast FM to name the beer, and it got the whole Wicklow kind of talking about it, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I got into the Beer House and Abbotsale House and a few other places in Dublin as well, which is great. But from there, that kind of gave me carte blanche to do a little bit more.
Yeah, because they kind of saw the benefit of...
Yeah.
Of the experimentation. Like, I think the only brewery in recent times I can think of that had that kind of balls out launch was White Hag, when they just turned up at the RDS, 2 years ago in 2014? With a 10% Imperial Stout and a Heather Sour and all sorts of stuff, which they will admit most of it was for the export market, but they really kind of showed their chops by saying, yeah, we're not just doing a red, a pale, and a...
Absolutely.
Whatever.
I just don't see the point.
Well, how boring would Ireland be if it was just a red, a pale ale, and a stout, if everybody was doing the same beers?
So the way I see it, actually, and this is the way I see one of the reasons why the craft beer is where it is now. I think like, you know, back 20, 30 years ago, it was almost like going into a shop, right, and all you see is Twix, a Mars, and a Snickers in every single shop.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is the point? So now you've got like Mint Crisps and, you know, all this kind of random kind of flavours coming out, and that's...
Blacks, chocolate and everything, yeah.
That's the way I kind of look at it. And yeah, I love doing IPAs and pale ales and kind of stuff, but adding stuff to beer is where my interest is at, you know. I want to do like a coconut IPA here and all that kind of jazz.
Very interesting. So you'd be like the Claudio Ranieri of brewers, always tinkering.
Yeah, it stems from home brewing.
Yeah.
It really, really does, I don't see the point in dismissing that, you know. I just kind of want to keep it going.
And do you do it all yourself, or do you have an assistant who helps?
Yeah, I have. I've got Brian Kelly. He started with me pretty much the first day. No experience in the industry whatsoever. But he's come on like leaps and bounds.
Brilliant.
He's very, very, very good.
Yeah.
So that chocolate brown is actually his. That's going to be on next.
Oh, very good, nice. Because I think, the 8 Degrees lads were... One of their beers at the festival was one of their brewery teams. It wasn't actually Cam or Scott. I think it might have been the double IPA that was one of theirs.
Yeah, Brian's after working incredibly, incredibly hard. I mean, doing long days and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's only fair.
Absolutely. You want to give the the recognition and like the love of having a beer
mm.
that you've put together out there. You know, it's I think it's kind of the dream, isn't it? To kind of have a beer with your name on it out there somewhere that you that is yours from
yeah.
beginning to end. So next week, the prodigal son returns to Cork.
I can't wait, actually. Yes,
so you're going to be coming in like Billy Big Bottom, aren't we? I'd say you can't wait to bring the beers that you and Brian have been putting together here to kind of,
yeah.
like, because this community is so small, everyone talks to each other anyway. And in the main, everyone gets on, but there's always one or two exceptions. But, like, what are you most looking forward to about next weekend? Because I'll be down there on Saturday just to check the lay of the land.
I think, like, I've asked specifically to be next to the Framwell and Rising Sun's stalls.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And Lee Valley Brewing Club, which I was a part of, are going to be close to that as well. So just to be around those guys, I mean, yeah, chatting to, hearing the Cork accent is always nice, of course. But just being around those guys, I mean, they're my mates. So.
It's like a homecoming for you, really,
yeah,
in that sense.
Absolutely.
And, of course, what we're talking about is the Great Irish Beer Festival that's happening in Cork.
Yes.
Yeah.
For our
yeah.
listeners.
Yeah, so next Saturday, well, is it Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
In Cork City Hall. So it should be a good 3 days, and there's some great breweries there.
Yeah, it's been
you're heading down yourself on the Saturday.
I'm heading down on the Saturday morning, coming back Saturday night, just to kind of catch up with one or two of the brewers that weren't at the RDS.
Cool.
So it should be good.
Yeah, we've actually done a collaboration brew with the Lee Valley Brewing Club. We've done a happy saison.
You make sure you bring a growler so you can
yeah.
bring
I'll
something
I'll
home
I'll be coming
for
back
me.
On the train clinking full of growlers and bottles and cans and stuff.
Actually, Brian here has done a Belgian quad, 10% quad.
No messing around.
It's
been safe for Christmas.
I hear. Hop along, Cassidy might have to find a way down to Cork.
Absolutely beautiful, so it is. We've got a black IPA called the Veil of Shadows.
Oh, brilliant.
Awesome name.
Veil of Shadows.
Veil of Shadows, Stranger Things.
Yeah, I was going to say, because
yeah.
Magic Rock have one called The Upside Down.
Really?
That's part of the Rainbow Project,
yeah.
yeah. Which is, I'd love to see something like this happen, actually, but I don't know, the sense of collaboration in this country sometimes doesn't work. Seven breweries in the UK have matched up with seven breweries from New Zealand. And they've all collaborated on a different beer. And I think Magic Rocks is like a kettle sour with some mad fruits in it. But it's called The Upside Down. I just thought it was a great name. But there's some really interesting breweries like Siren and Wild Beer Co.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'd love to see even some sort of internal Irish collaboration.
I'd love
where
to see
you
more.
Only see it sometimes. Like, I know Yellow Belly and Hope did one on one of the sour beers. And you see one or two floating around, like obviously Framwell worked with Jameson for the stout and other things. But I'd love to see maybe someone like O'Hara's team up with someone relatively new and brew something that O'Hara's would never brew in a million years. Like, and O'Hara's is O'Hara's
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day. Consistent, reliable, it is what it is. But you can see that they're trying to do something a bit different with their...
They had like the grapefruit IPA.
Yeah.
That was gorgeous.
Yeah, I actually thought it was really good. The aroma was the most grapefruit aroma I've ever smelled
really?
In a beer. And that includes Elvis Juice, Pomacello by Siren.
Yeah.
And a few and Grapefruit Sculpin. But I just thought
it
tasted... For me, it just tasted a bit acidic because it was really grapefruity. But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
I think they nailed it.
I'd just love to, because you can see that they're trying to experiment outside the bar range, but you'd love to see someone nuts like, say, Declan and Yellow Belly drag them through with something, or, you know, it's just, the personality of both breweries in a beer, I suppose, is the one thing, because the Pinter Stout, foreign export stout they did, the collaboration with the Polish sides was, yet again, a great O'Hara's dark beer.
If you could collab with somebody in Ireland, who would you want to collab with?
Probably the Suns, I'd say. Rising Suns.
Yeah. Are yous listening?
Actually, we're kind of... Well,
I'd say that deal will be sorted now next week.
Yeah.
City Hall.
Over a couple of beers.
It won't be the only brown paper envelope flying around Cork City Hall anyway. And then internationally, I suppose, what breweries have inspired you?
Dogfish Head. Straight off the bat, yeah.
We won't tell you the beer we had recently then.
Was it Flesh and Blood?
Yeah.
That was the Blood.
Blood Orange and Citrus IPA. Insane.
It was class.
Gift from a friend. Along with some Cigar City Highlight and Invasion Pale Ale. Like, I just think ultra fresh beers are so good.
Oh, yeah.
And I think consumers are beginning to get a bit more educated on that side of things. Like, from your point of view, as a brewer, do you think when you're packaging your beer, you're going to have a packaged on date as well as a best before, or are you just going to leave it as a best before because that's what you have to have?
Actually, I didn't even think of that, to be fair. So I think just for the moment, it'll be best before.
We heard it here first week in October.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you see cans of Hop Nut, they're fresh.
They're going to be absolutely as fresh as can be, to be fair. Like.
Nice.
Excellent. I think that's kind of it, really, unless there's anything else you have, love?
No.
I see you finished your red ale.
I am.
Was it good?
It was gulpable, so I just had to. Really enjoyable.
And you were actually drinking the Hop Nut as well,
were
you?
Yeah.
I was going to say, what is he drinking?
Yeah, the stout nozzle is going from the tap, so it's going to have to be the Hop Nut, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So, Jason, thanks very much for your time and showing me around your brewery. It's a lovely brew house. Anyone who is in the area of Red Cross should come in.
They do brewery tours.
They do tours every weekend.
Yeah, actually, to be fair, the tour is getting pretty good kudos as well. The girls in the bar do a really good tour. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can see the passion from all the staff. Like, the guys are all really invested. Like, mm-hmm. they were very quick to promote the beer, obviously, because it's made here as well. But like, I think that's half the battle, getting the serving staff on side. And
absolutely key.
You're there.
Absolutely key. And it's not just that. It's getting the accounts that we have out there as well, to get those staff on board. And that's where the challenge is, but that's part and parcel.
And the restaurant is amazing, too. The food.
Yeah, the food's really good.
The food.
Yeah, I'm still full.
That beer
and
misu.
Until tomorrow.
Oh, damn beer and misu. I still haven't tasted it. I'm one of those weird vegan-y people.
Oh, God.
Oh, you're one of them?
Yeah.
It's
so I assume
gorgeous.
There's no eyes and glass in your beer?
Absolutely nothing. Not a hope in hell.
Some Irish moss?
Yeah.
Very good. Keeping it local.
Absolutely.
So, Jason, thanks for your time.
Cheers,
I'll see you next Saturday. And keep your eyes out for Wicklow Brewery around the country, or mainly Wicklow accounts?
No, we're in Dublin, Cork, Wexford.
Very good. So you'll see Wicklow Brewery knocking around. Keep an eye out for the packaged beers soon enough. And if you're down in Cork, say hi to Jason. And also the beer festival in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, the 7th and 8th of October. We've got O'Hara's confirmed, Rising Sun's confirmed, Arthur Stone, Yellow Belly, I think, are coming as well.
Brilliant.
Very good. Are you doing it all in here, or what way are you doing that? Are you doing a marquee outside?
I wanted it to be in the little bistro inside, but that doesn't make sense at all. So it'll be in here.
In here,
yeah.
Great room.
Just move the stuff out of the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Sinead.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks very much, Jason. Cheers.
The Irish Craft Beer subreddit is the best way to keep pace with all the latest news, views, reviews and interviews relating to the Irish craft beer scene. Check out the subreddit at www.reddit.com/r/IrishCraftBeer and join the revolution.